Well, thanks to the kids and Holly for helping them prepare all that. That was really beautiful. The worship was beautiful too, so appreciate all that. I do have a few more things to share. I did learn years ago when I was a young pastor that no matter how powerfully I spoke or how passionately and how much I was just inspired by God to share a message at this point, you would walk away with the simple thought of, oh, aren't those kids cute? So, I encouraged the kids to be a little less cute today, but I don't think it worked very well. So, I do just have a couple things that I want to share, maybe speak for about 10 minutes here or so. Maybe it'll just be an addition to that. The kids are cute, and maybe another thought or two. So, let's just pray and get started here. Lord, we do just thank you. Thank you for this time, God. It is beautiful just to see your kids, your children. You've entrusted to us, and just to think about your love for the world and to think about what a huge thing it was, what a turning point in history when Jesus was born. Everything changed from that point on. And we thank you that you loved us that much, that you sent Jesus to come as a baby and to come as a Savior, to come and live among us, and really with a purpose of dying. To come and to go to the cross for us, to pay for our sins, to make it so that we could have eternal life by faith in you. What a beautiful, beautiful message. Thank you for bringing joy to us by rescuing us from the darkness of this world and from the darkness of our own sin. So we pray that just as we continue to reflect on the Christmas message here this morning, that you would speak to us, that your Spirit would just touch our hearts, God, that you would draw us to yourself. And we pray that just this Christmas season, we would enjoy the gifts and enjoy the family and enjoy the food and the fellowship and all of that. But we would also just have time to just reflect on you and what you've done for us and to worship you and enjoy you. And so we just pray for a blessing on the rest of this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So maybe about 2 weeks ago, I stepped out to my driveway and I saw a guy walking toward me. So let's just pause right there in the story. What do you wonder? What comes next? What was I thinking? Well, I wondered a couple things. I wondered, well, who is this guy? And what does he want? Or maybe more specifically, what does he want from me? Could be a lot of different things, right? Could be a neighbor who's angry, doesn't like the way I parked. Could be a neighbor who wants to bring me some Christmas cookies. Could be one of those meter people who go around and check your gas meter and he's looking to try to find it somewhere. Could be somebody that wants to sell something. I don't know. Could be all sorts of different things. But those are the questions that we ask, right? And so I just want to think about that as something to go off of as we think about the Christmas stories. Just when a visitor comes, we have a couple of questions. One is, who are you? And the other is, why are you here? Or maybe more specifically, why are you here for me? Like, what do you want from me? Well, it turns out that this guy came up to me and he said, hi, my name's Pete. And I could tell right away he had like a little air conditioning company shirt on. And he said he was in the neighborhood and was giving away free quotations for air conditioning units, and was going to do a quote for a system for our house, and he was really excited about this. And so it was pretty clear to me right away who he was. He was an air conditioning salesman, and what he wanted from me was $20,000 to $30,000. It just happens all the time, right? In the Christmas story, we see it, right? There's an angel who appears to Mary and Joseph and to Zechariah and to the shepherds, and even, you know, you can imagine Mary and Joseph when suddenly some shepherds show up. Just all those different instances, we have these questions of who are you and why are you here? What do you want from me? And I want to think about just the really big picture of that. That Jesus came. And what are the answers to those questions? Why did he come? And what does he want? Maybe more importantly, what does he want from me? And so I just wanted to look at just a short portion of the Christmas story out of Luke 1. It's when the angel is speaking to Mary. And Luke 1:30 says, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And so I want to just think about those two questions that we looked at. Think about those related to different, almost the names of Jesus or different reasons that Jesus came. And so the first one I want to look at is just, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Obviously, Son of the Most High means he's the Son of God, right? And so Jesus came as the Son of God. So if we think about who are you? Well, he's the Son of God. And how does that answer the next part? Why are you here? What do you want from me? Well, it doesn't really answer that question, but it does help us realize, wow, something big is happening, right? Whatever he wants, it's big. Because the Son of God has come as a visitor. The Son of God has come to this earth. And so whatever comes after that, it's got to be pretty significant. And so that's what we learned so far in this story. The angel said, you'll be with child and will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. So who are you? Well, he's Jesus. And maybe to us that doesn't mean a whole lot because we don't necessarily think about the meanings of names very much. We'll talk about it a little bit. Maybe in Hebrew that was a little bit more common. But the name Jesus meant Savior. And if I could switch to the Matthew version, when the angel's talking to Joseph, he said this. He said, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus means Savior. And so then that makes a lot of sense because you're to give him the name Jesus. You're to give him the name Savior because he will save his people from their sins. Well, that's pretty significant. So who are you? Well, he's a Savior. He shows up in this world, in our world, as the Savior. Well, what do you want? He wants to save. He wants to rescue. And imagine if you were like me and you walked out onto your driveway and instead of some guy walking toward you, he's maybe a fireman and there's a fire truck outside of your house or apartment building and the fireman walks up and he's like, hey, I'm here to save you. Well, you'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, is my house on fire? What's going on? Why are you here to save me? And I think we could ask the same question here. And it's answered in this verse that he would save us. He would save us from our sins. And even more specifically, when we ask, what do you want from me? He wants to save me from my sins. So that's really significant. It's not just that he came for the whole world, which he did, but he came for me. My brokenness. The times I've done bad things. That I've lied. That I've cheated. That I've been immoral. That I've been angry against God. That I've just whatever. He came for that, to save me. And I think that relates to his death. As I mentioned earlier, he came for the purpose of living among us and then going to the cross. He came to die, specifically to die for me. He went to the cross to pay the penalty that I deserved, the death penalty. He came to die in my place, that I could have forgiveness and that I could have life by putting my faith in him instead of trying to earn my own way to heaven and being like, look, God, how amazing I am. I deserve to be in heaven. That I could come before God like, man, God, I am so broken, so unworthy. But I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I could have eternal life because of what he did, not because of anything that I've ever done. And the third and last thing I want to think about is just this last part that the angel said. He said, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So he doesn't outright call him a king, but he talks about his throne and his reign and his kingdom. Seems like that would be pretty fair to say that he came as a king. And I think that's really helpful when you think about Jesus and his connection with you, because for whatever reason, in our culture, I think we're very concerned about kind of the black and white of things, of the bare necessity or the bare bones. And so a lot of times when we think about life from God, what we think about is, what's the bare minimum I must do to go to heaven? And in some ways, that's a good question. And philosophically, I think it's helpful for us to think about that. The bare minimum I must do is to put my faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. And that gets me into heaven. But I don't know, it's a little bit funny. I just picture kind of like Jesus like preaching and sharing a parable with somebody and kind of, Jesus, hey, I got a question for you. Hey, Jesus, what's the bare minimum I need to do to get to heaven? And I don't know, he responded to people in a lot of different ways, but I kind of see him being like, why are you asking that? Like, the bare minimum, because he's not just saving us to get us into heaven. He's saving us to take care of our sin so that we could be near him, that we could be in relationship with him, that we wouldn't have to be separated from him because of our sin. And so that allows us to be in heaven when our sins are dealt with. It also allows us to be in a relationship with him now because our sins are dealt with. When you think about a king, maybe more specifically, a good king, what's that king want? He wants to lead his people into good. What's he want from you? He wants to lead you into good. When someone comes as a visitor, we have our two questions. Who are you? What do you want? And then you know what? We have a response. If someone shows up at your door and wants to sell you a vacuum cleaner, you say, well, come on in. I'm game. Let's hear your spiel. Or you say, you know, I'm not interested today. And we shut the door. And I had a mixed response with Pete. He came to sell me air conditioning unit. Okay, sure. Let's hear your spiel. And we sat for 2 really long hours. 20 to $30,000, you got to be kidding me. Well, how low would I have to go? It's like, trust me, you cannot go low enough. I think if you said 5,000, I would still be like, I'm not interested. He didn't seem very interested in 5,000, so that was kind of the end of that conversation. But when Jesus comes and he says, I want to be your Savior. I want to be your King. Will you follow me? That's not the end of the story, right? That's just, okay, now we know who he is. And now we know what he wants. Now we know what he wants from you. The end of the story is the response. What's your response to God? I'm not really that kind of person. I'm not really interested in that. Or be like, you know, God, I'm really broken. And I realize I can't save myself. Thanks for going to the cross for me. Jesus, thanks for paying for my sins. And I want to receive that gift that you've offered me. And I want to follow you. And we hear all these Christian-y things so much. Let's think about that real specifically. Like, would you be willing to say to God, God, if you lead me through your word or through a message or an angel at my bedside or whatever, if you lead me clearly, I'm in. I'll follow you. You're my king. Would you say that to God? I want to have just a minute or two of silence here, and I just want you to respond to God. And you can say, yes, I'm in. You can say, no, I'm not in. You can say, I'm not in yet. God, you need to keep working on my heart. I'm not there. I'm scared. Whatever. Just talk to God just for a minute or so, and we'll have some silence, and then I'll pray, and we'll be done here. Lord, I've been trying to follow you for many years, and yet it's still a little scary to stop and say, I'll follow you no matter where you lead me. It's scary to entrust our life to somebody else. God, I pray that you would just help each of us to just be willing to make that commitment, not just here this morning, but over and over in our lives, to continue holding on to you, to continue following you. Thank you that you're a good king. Thank you that you're a loving shepherd. Thank you that you care about us. And it doesn't mean that life's always going to be super easy and comfortable and everything's going to be bliss from here on out. But it does mean that you're always there, and you always love us, and that we can trust you, that we can follow you, and that will always be a good thing in our lives. I pray that you would help us to see you as our King, that we would be followers and not merely believers. And so we love you. Thank you for this time this morning. Thank you again for the wonderful kids and the worship and just the sweet Christmas time. God, help us to continue to think about you during this season. I pray this in Jesus' name.